Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians.
Chapter 4. amazed by the Lord, and I don't know why after all these years, why I should still constantly be amazed at the Lord. He's the one that led me in the study of Ephesians 3 years ago. He's the one that led me in the study of the book of Matthew. The message this morning, while it doesn't, this afternoon's not going to be about our Father too much. It is going to be about our Father. In verse 6, the verse we're ready for, chapter 4, says one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And I suppose some pastors, because they were just going to spoke on it in the morning or last week, would change their sermon, or because we just spoke on it in the morning service or last week in the morning service, we'll skip over this week and go on to the next thought. Well, I'm not so prone to do that. He put it in his word in Matthew. He directed our messages in the book of Matthew. He's put it here in Ephesians. And he directed our messages in Ephesians. And who'd ever thought the timing would have coincided on the same day or in proximity? Today we want to consider one God. I don't know if we'll get to the Father part of it at all today. One God and Father of all. But again, I encourage you to consider, who's he writing to? Who's he writing to when he says one God and Father of all? You see, he's writing to the Ephesian church. And church members are made up of what? Believers. Mm-hmm. Believers in Christ. Now this verse says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So this fourfold use of the word all, what does it have reference to? Does it have reference to all inclusive of everybody? No, all of whom he's speaking to. So he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to saved folks. Then I put down in my notes, context, context, context. It's important.
Amen.
To understand who he's speaking to. One God. We have one God. And as he's talking to believers in his body, we have one God. Not one for the Jews, not one for the Gentiles. Understand in the day and time this was written, you were a Jew, and if you weren't a Jew, then you were a Gentile. It didn't matter the color of your skin or what. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. So that got everybody. All the rest of them. One God. Not one for the black man. Not one for the Hispanic. Not one for the Chinese. Not one for the English speaking people. One God. And it would be possible, you in this assembly, we don't have it, but it would be possible in this assembly to have those different ethnic groups represented here that I just spoke of. We have one God. Turn with me to the book of Romans and chapter 10. Romans and chapter 10. And let's begin reading with verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith, which we preach, the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever, Jew or Gentile,
yes.
Not just a Jew, that would have been the inclination of the Jews to think that,
yes.
But not just a Jew, whosoever. That gets all people.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Or Gentile. Just another word used for Gentile.
Amen.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. There's one God over all. And he said, whosoever believeth. One God. Matters not your ethnic group. Now, other religions have a plurality of gods, not just one. They have a plurality of gods. And even some professing to be of the Christian faith by their actions, they reveal that they hold to a plurality of gods. Let that not be us.
Amen.
Here in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul is emphasizing the fact that we have one God. There may have even been some there in the Ephesian congregation and noting where Ephesus was and where the people of Ephesus came from. You know where they came from? Mars Hill? You know, they had an inscription to every god, and just in case they missed one, there was an inscription to the unknown god? You see? And that was where these this predominantly Ephesian church came from. That kind of thinking. It's been very easy for them to carry it over. You and I have been raised with the idea there's one God. But how many times in practice do we deny the one God and create in practice a plurality of gods? It shouldn't be hard for us to figure out, because we've gone through 8 chapters in the book of Ezekiel and constantly reminded of this and the struggle that Israel and the house of Judah had, and then bringing it over in application to us. We even struggle with it. Idolatry. Many gods. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 4. And let's begin with verse 31, just because it reminds us of some things. It's not the primary verse that we want to focus in on. But verse 31, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man." God created man upon the earth. "And ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? You recall what he's reminding the Israelites of here? Do you recall when God spoke to them out of the fire as they did and they lived? Do you recall when they came out of Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai? And God descended upon Mount Sinai in a cloud of fire. And he thundered from the fire from Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments unto them. And the people said, "Oh," and Moses says, "Oh, this is scary. We don't like God speaking to us. You have God speak to you, and then you speak to us." Remember that? 20th chapter of the book of Exodus begins with chapter 19. But God thundered out of the fire to them. And then because they were afraid and didn't want God speaking to them anymore, then God called Moses up into the mount. God spoke directly with Moses. And through all their wilderness wanderings in, God spoke directly with Moses. You see. So that's what he's reminding them of. Or if God essayed to go, verse 34, essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation, by signs, by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by stretched out arms, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? What other people has God worked with so mightily? And as we have seen in the studies of the Old Testament, and particularly Ezekiel, Israel experienced God working through other nations to bring judgment upon Israel. He worked through the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans to bring judgment upon Israel. Amen. Verse 35. Unto thee it was showed in all these things and all his workings with them. He said, "I was showed you." That thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Listen, Grace Baptist Church. That gets me. God has worked mightily in each of us, bringing us together, shedding us in the body of Christ to show us that the Lord thy God, he is God, and there is none other beside him. He is one God. We ought to always be reminded of that. Always keep it in mind. Not just today when we're here in the assembly, but tomorrow when we go about our own ways and we think we're the boss and we think we're in control. Two men here own their own business. They're the boss, right? They're in control, right? Well, you know what? I don't own my own business. But I'm the boss. I'm in control. No. The Lord, he is God. And there's nothing else. You see, I'm not a God. I'm not like him. I'm just man. Fallen man at that. Sinful man at that. And we need to remind ourselves of that. The Lord, he is God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a verse that probably everyone can quote, right? Well, let me see what it is first. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God. Right? For there is one God.
Amen.
And one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who is God. How can that be? Well, we're going to deal some more with that. Only one. There's only one God. Manifesting himself as Father. As the man, Christ Jesus, the Son. And the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it any further than that. How many men have tried to explain it further than that? It comes right down to it, they can't explain it any further than that. There's only one that is God. There's only one, because there's only one God, there's only one that has the power to forgive sins. Wow. That's staggering to the our religious system today, isn't it? I was watching a show the other day, and this long story short, this man's daughter got pregnant out of wedlock, and she chose to have an abortion. And the father was against it, and the father had been an estranged father, but now she's a freshman in college or whatever, and he's trying to get into her life and be a positive influence and show her that he's there for her and everything, but he's against abortion. But because he voiced his views against it, well, then his daughter got kind of cut him off and what have you and everything, and so then he began to realize he needs to show her that'd be her decision. She's an adult. She's making her decision. He doesn't agree with it, but he wants her to know that he's still there for her. And she goes on. She has the abortion and everything, and they leave, and they're pretty good. And then he gets in the cab to leave and go home, and the cabbie says, where do you want to go? And he says, well, he says, just drive around and I'll tell you where. He says, I'll find a good Baptist church. His thought and idea was he's going to go in there and confess his daughter's sin or confess his sins or whatever. There's one. You can see the popery system come through that, even though they use the Baptist name in it. True Baptists have never promoted you coming to me and confessing your sins, and then I go to God on your behalf for you. No, I pray for you. I pray often for everyone here.
Yes.
As well as myself.
Yes.
God only has the power to forgive sins. We'll be getting in that next week or in a couple weeks on Sunday morning for giving. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. And verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Whoa! Is this which, or who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Whether I say, rise up and walk, or whether I say, thy sins be forgiven me, it's the same thing. And I, the Son of Man, am God, and I have the power. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Man, a man had the power to forgive sins. Wow, we've seen strange things today. Couldn't believe it. You see, they didn't, in their foolish hearts, they didn't see him as God. They didn't see the Son of God. They only saw a man. You see. But Jesus healed the man so that they might see him. They still didn't see him, and they were amazed and wondered at those things. How many times are we amazed and fail to recognize the power of God? We acknowledge the Trinity. But in our acknowledging the Trinity, we're not saying there are three gods. We're saying the triune God. One God.
Amen.
And thus it starts out in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, gods. However, when you dig in, you see that it is singular plural. Well, that sounds like a contradiction of terms, doesn't it? But when you dig into the Hebrew, you see the word Elohim is actually a plural, but it's one God. Wow, it's just blowing my mind, just trying to think about it and rationalize it. As I've said before, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and automatically three individuals pop into our mind's eye view. But no, it's one. It's one. And they don't work independently one of another. They're one. Turn with me to the book of John. And hopefully don't lose anybody here, because this is hard for the physical man to understand. This is hard for the natural mind to understand. We just have to say it's the Word of God and by faith believe it. Jesus said this in verse 19 of John chapter 8. He said, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father?" That is unto Jesus, they said. And Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father." Notice what he said now. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." You see, to know Jesus is to know the Father. To know the Father is to know Jesus. I believe he says that in another place. Maybe in the same discourse. Because he continues on with that thought of the Father and Father Abraham. We read it this morning, Father Abraham and God. And we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said, you don't. Because if you don't do the works of your father Abraham, and your father Abraham did the works of God, and you don't do them, so you don't have God for your father. Satan, the devil, is your father. The works of your father you do. You see, to see Jesus Christ is to see the Father, to know the Father. Amen. And if you know the Father, you know Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the 10th chapter now. And John is rich in this thing. John, the Gospel of John is a good book, and I've said this before, it is a good book to point lost people to read.
Yep. Amen.
The Gospel of John. And I've said before, if you're lost, read John through. If you're still lost when you get through John, read John through again.
Amen.
And if you're still lost, read John through again. And then, if you think the Lord saved you, and we use the word think, but we really mean, if you know the Lord saved you, then read the book of 1 John. Because the book of 1 John tells you how one who has been saved, has been born again, how he will behave. He'll love the brethren. He'll love the brethren. He'll love God. Because he loves God, he loves the brethren. And he manifests that love for the brethren by his love to God, by obeying the commandments of God. That's 1 John 5, by the way. It says you manifest that by keeping commandments, that you have love one for another. You see. So John chapter 10. As we continue to look, let's begin with verse 28. He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Here we go, right back to John chapter 8. You know me, you know the Father. You know the Father, you know me. I and my Father are one, Jesus said. Do you believe? Do you believe? John chapter 14. Now, here we enter an expose, a discourse. I guess discourse is a better word, because that's what's going on here. Discourse with his first church, some brethren in his first church, who have been with him since the beginning. for approximately 3.5 years. Jesus, this is right on the end of his ministry. Right the day before they come and take him to crucify him. In verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Do you know the Father? Do you know Jesus? And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Did you catch that? You're not only you that have seen, you see me, you see Jesus Christ. If you know me, you know the Father. Amen. Also, and henceforth you see him, the Father. You see me, you see the Father. Is there more than one God? No, he's promoting one God. As I said, this is men who have been with him from the beginning, 3.5 years. They ate with him, they slept with him, they journeyed with him. They learned of his doctrine, of his teachings. Now look. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus had just said, you see me, you see him. But Philip is still kind of dull. And he's thinking, is he not? Show us the Father, and it sufficeth. We want to see him. All right, let's look what Jesus says now. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? 3.5 years. You've journeyed with me, you've ate with me, you've slept with me, you've learned my doctrine, my teaching, including my doctrine concerning the Father and concerning me. Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And he, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I just told you a couple minutes ago that you see him by seeing me. And now I'm going to tell you again. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You've been with me, you've tarried with me, you've seen the works that I've done, and they manifest that I am the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see. Well, turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 7. Let's read verse 6 also. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You've seen the Son. You've seen the Father. You know the Father. You know the Son. You know the Holy Spirit's leading. You have the leading of God. You have the leading of the Father. It is God. Well, we'll stop there today, this afternoon. Next week, we'll go on with one God, Father of all. And who is He speaking to? And so therefore, who is He speaking of? You see, that's not hard once you understand to whom it was written and to who it's written today. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.